Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah, I got a little too. How does that feel?
It's really cold.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's Alec Burleson last night. After getting Gatorade dumped on him because, I got to tell you, after all the trades and everything yesterday, the game was really entertaining against the New York Yankees. The Cardinals held the lead, and you knew they were going to blow the lead, right, Fred? They were up 6-2. I mean, it was a guarantee that when the bullpen came in, things were going to get tighter. I had no doubt. So I was kind of battling via text message with John Sullivan, you know, John and Jeannie of Pet Supplies Plus. John's a New Yorker. He's a big Yankees fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's already calling me out because I just barely said that if the Cardinals are out of it, I could root for the Brewers. I have some ties up there, and I have my wife. But, boy, he's calling me out for that. So I had to be careful last night because I knew that the Yankees could win. But then, I don't know if you know what happened, Sue. It was just a sea of home runs.
Yes, it was fun.
To end the game. And Burleson got – did he have three last night?
Yeah, had three last night,
okay. We got to start with this just because it's fun, and it's election day and everything. But what the hell? Here's number one. Rooney's doing great calls here.
The pitch. A swing, and there's a drive to right field. That ball's going to leave the yard. A two-run homer for Alec Burleson. And the Cardinals are on the board with one out in the first inning.
Yeah, so it started off real well. Klaibs was doing the game with Rooney last night. Ricky Horton was off.
He holds the bat high over his shoulder. Waits on a pitch and turns on a pitch down the right field line. This ball is gone as Alec Burleson with a two-home run night tacks on two more runs for the Cardinals, and the Redbirds are now leading 6-0.
Okay, he's not through, though. Here we go. One more before the game is over.
The pitch to Burleson. A swing! There it goes! There's his third home run tonight! Unbelievable! Oh, baby, what a swing! A two-run homer for Burleson. Three home runs, six RBIs. Yes, he got his 18th home run in this series. He got it in this game. A three-homer night.
Oh, great calls from Rooney there. That is amazing. And there's only been a handful of players that have done four home runs, so he was close to that. But the Cardinals ended up winning that game. What was it, 13-7?
Mm-hmm.
They ran up the score at the end of the game, and that was great to see. So, you know, one of the things, we'll talk about this as we, I'll even bring this up with Scott Jennings, who's going to join us here in the first segment. The folks I know up in Milwaukee, Fred, and even some of the talk show hosts up there, they think they got fleeced on this deal where they got they gave up these two prospects, and then they get Dustin May and Jojo Romero. I think, personally, they're underestimating the contribution that Romero, in particular, could offer the Brewers. But Dustin May's had some solid starts. What do you think, you know, in the aftermath, 24 hours later, or almost 24 hours later, Ethan, what's the takeaway from all that?
Clapping.
Yeah, really good, right?
That is me clapping. I am ecstatic with the returns that they got, specifically in the Dustin May, Jojo Romero trade. When you look at what they gave up, two guys that are on expiring contracts, they brought in two pieces that automatically get implemented into the top 10 in their farm system. This Alexander Frias guy is only 18 years old. Some different outlets have him as a top 50 prospect in baseball already. He goes into the Cardinal system at number 4. And, you know, has some power in his swing, has some speed. Both of these guys, great potential in the outfield, good power swing combination. So it's just all about adding lottery tickets into the system. The more you have, the better chance you have for more of them to be able to hit.
But on a kid that's in the system, that's 18 years old, I mean, what's the reality of his, you know, path to the bigs?
It's going to take a little bit of time. He's only in single A right now. So, I mean, you know, the Cardinals have several guys that are at that young of an age. But here's the good part of this is that the Brewers have one of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball. So you know that the work that they were doing with those guys was legitimate, and you bring them into a Cardinals system that has been newly revamped. The Cardinals have a couple of guys right now that are that young and are performing at the minor league level. Their number one prospect right now is only 19, and he's already in double A. So this is the new day and age of baseball where these guys are getting to the majors at a younger age than ever. I'm not saying that any of these guys are going to be there next year necessarily, but you know, we could be talking about these guys in their age 20, yeah, 21 seasons being a part of the Cardinals major league roster.
Well, that's fun. I'd say that we did pretty well. Some of the grades out there by the so-called experts were really good on the trades as well. All right, so it's election day. Fred, did you vote today? You did, right?
I did this morning.
I did this morning, went to Rockwood Summit, one of the first things that I did as well. Sue, did you vote today?
I did.
Okay. I had a fair amount of people. I mean, for a primary election, there were just, I don't know, maybe 20 people voting. You said, Fred, you didn't see a lot of people at your polling place.
Yeah, I went to Zion United Methodist Church on Union Road, right near 55. And I got there about 7 a.m., and I was the only one. I mean, I didn't have to wait in line. People had gone already before mm-hmm. me, but there was no line at all.
Yeah. You had to wait a little bit?
I did, at 10:30.
Where did you go?
The one off of Telegraph by me, another school, I can't
Porter
tell
school?
You. Yeah, that's the one. And I was there. I had two nuns in front of me and five people in front of them, but the line was moving.
I was in the line to get my ballot, and there was, I don't know, they ran out of paper at first, okay?
What?
And you know how patient I am. Yeah,
oh, dear.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, there's like five little stations, and they send me to the station that has, you know, no papers. So then they put the paper in, and I'm not saying anything. I'm just sitting there, right? And then she goes, Mike? I'm like, nope. And then she says, Mike? Nope. So then finally they got me the right ballot. Now I took a Democrat ballot. I'm gonna be honest about something else. I voted against four, because I just was frustrated. Amendment 4. I want the initiative petition process to change. I don't think that was the best option to make it, you know, majority in all the congressional districts. I understand the point. I've been talking about the initiative petition process in Missouri since the 1980s.
Yes.
So I'm quite familiar with it, but you know what? It's going to fail, so I voted no on that. I did vote yes on 5, even though that's going to fail as well. But when I pulled the Democrat ballot, the reason I did that is to vote for St. Louis County Executive, because I think Brian Williams is a better choice than Jake Zimmerman, although, you know, that's just a guess at this point. Now, if you're in St. Charles, you know, I mentioned this, there's some Senate races, some state Senate races, things like that, that if you're a Democrat, you might want to vote in, but you don't have to, and you can vote and take an R ballot and vote for Steve Ellman or Jason Law or Bill Eigel. So that's something that is possible. And you just do that. You know, they're not supposed to know, because the screen, you guys probably have this too. You have to sign, and then there's a screen that tells you, you know, ask you the question, what ballot do you want, right? And you can anonymously choose that. However, here's what I say about that is when they were handing me my ballot or Mike, that you could clearly see on the top of the ballot that it said Democrat, right? So because I told Becky, I'm like, you can pull a Democrat ballot. She's like, I don't want to do that. Like, what if someone hears me? I'm like, oh, I get it, but they're not supposed to hear you. So just keep that
in mind when you vote. We'll see what turnout's like. Look, I'm going to host the election coverage tonight. We're going to take an hour off between 6 and 7 o'clock, and then at 7, we'll be handling the election coverage. Former State Senator John Lamping is going to be with me. He joined us last night, handicapping some of these races. We're going to keep a close eye on what's happening in Michigan with that Senate primary. Mike Rogers will be the Republican nominee in November, but this race between Abdulaziz El-Sayed and who, by the way, like this guy's supposedly a doctor. He's not even a doctor. He's like not really a doctor. And he tried to, he's a doctor technically, but he's never really done anything when it comes to like practicing medicine. So that's kind of a joke. Haley Stevens is allegedly the moderate in that race. So here's the two things that could happen there. If El-Sayed wins, he's like the socialist, the communist. He's out there on the fringes. Israel has no right to exist. So he'll be in a position with Mike Rogers where you would think that that would be easier for Rogers to win, although the polling is very close on both candidates. Haley Stevens, she's the establishment Democrat, but she's still crazy. So I don't think you really have a better choice there. If you're a Republican, you're going to hope that Mike Rogers can hold that seat. So we'll talk about that tonight. Now, I want to touch a little bit on Wisconsin here because this is crazy. There's a woman named Francesca Hong, who is now the prohibitive favorite to be the Democrat nominee in Wisconsin. They don't vote today. They vote next week. That's when their primary is. And so I don't know if you heard the story about her today, but she thinks maybe we shouldn't have Thanksgiving. So
what?
That's what the Democrats are putting forward in Wisconsin. And she's going to win this Democrat nomination. Check this out.
Do you still believe that Thanksgiving should be canceled?
Bringing folks around the table to share conversation and build community is always a good thing. But Thanksgiving is also a time that's incredibly painful for many people in our communities.
No, it's not. And if Thanksgiving is painful for you and your community, move your community to another country. Leave this country. We do not want, I'm just going to tell you, we don't want you here, okay? I don't want you here. That's utterly ridiculous that she's saying that, that somehow people are affected by Thanksgiving. Now, I'll give Caitlin Collins, the woman who never smiles, a little credit there. She's the one who asked that question. And I was surprised by that. Hong goes on with Dana Perino, too.
It's going to be very easy for people to put up on the board and say, you said abolish the Senate, defund the police, abolish the police. And why should they not believe that you would want to do that, that you would try to do that if you became governor?
I believe that people can evolve. We meet Trump voters from previous elections who now would like to vote for me, who have a sign in their yard. And as governor, I cannot defund the police. And I've reminded folks that I won't defund the police.
Well, she's out there with the radical positions. She's going to be a lot of fun. I hope she wins. I really do. Kind of in the same way I hope Corey beats Wesley today, but we're going to talk about that.
I can't do it. You can't wish that. That's complete insanity. I know it's selfish you want it for the show, but it's crazy.
Well, and I don't think in the end she wins, but
I hope not.
We'll talk about that and more with Scott Jennings coming up.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
The right window treatments change everything. your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunns.
I'm next. You know, on the topic of Michigan and El Sayed and that other crazy person up there, Haley Stevens, our friend Ryan Recker, who fills in for me from time to time from up there in Detroit, he's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, his take on that race and the rest of politics right now. Our friend Scott Jennings back with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. You typically hear his show every weekday at 8 p.m. Jennings, how are you?
I'm great. Back in the land of the living here. I've been out west, Mark. I've been in the Grand Tetons, Yellowstone, beautiful country out there.
Yeah, you were here for the baseball games. We went a couple of weekends ago, and then I think you kind of took off. So were you off CNN all last week?
I was, for the most part. I think I did one thing while I was out west. But for the most part, took some time off and saw a couple of national parks I hadn't seen and had a great time.
I love that. I haven't done a lot of that out west because my ex-wife did it with my boys, but I really want to do it with Alexa because there's so many things in this country I want to see to kind of check off my list. Okay, I am preempting you tonight, Jennings, on 97.1 FM Talk, because this is election day in Missouri. It's primary day. I'm handling the election coverage tonight, so I apologize that your show will not be heard tonight. But obviously, I think you know that we had a couple of races here that are interesting. One is Amendment 5. Governor Kehoe has made this really a big part of his goals to phase out the income tax. We also have Cori Bush and Wesley Bell facing off against one another again in the first district here in St. Louis. So, Scott, on Amendment 5, I wish I could tell you that that was going to pass. I think it's going to get crushed. You know, it wasn't marketed very well, and a lot of conservatives are going to vote against that, which is a little shocking to me. On Cori and Wesley, I think Cori's got a shot. I think most people think that Wesley's going to win, but she's a DSA candidate, and we don't know what will happen. Your thoughts on Missouri right now? Have you been talking about that at all?
Well, on the tax thing, you know, you were telling me several days ago you thought it was going to go down, and that is so, well, it's disappointing. I mean, yeah. You know, these states that have phased out their income taxes have done quite well. People like to live in those environments. On the Bell-Bush race, that'll be one we're watching tonight. I'll be on CNN tonight from 8 to 11 as we're doing election coverage. But, you know, these socialist candidates around the country, that's one. You've got the Senate race going on in Michigan. There's a few others involved in primaries out there. We're just going to see if the progressive, socialist, communist wave continues to expand outside of New York City, and that really will be the storyline of the night to me.
So what is your take on Michigan? Because I've started finally focusing in on that the last couple of weeks. Haley Stevens, is she a moderate? I don't know that she's a moderate, but El Sayed is way out there on the fringes. But that is going to be interesting. If Haley Stevens loses that race, that's very fascinating. It says a lot from where the Democrats are right now.
Well, it really does, and, you know, Haley Stevens has the entire establishment, the governor of the state, the outgoing senator. They want Haley Stevens, and Abdul El Sayed has AOC, Bernie Sanders, and the rest of that bunch. So this is a pure establishment versus socialist, radical, you know, insurgent race. All the polling has Abdul El Sayed ahead. Everybody I've talked to in Michigan thinks he's going to win. And, you know, this one is interesting because if Democrats were to lose this in the fall, which I think Abdul El Sayed puts in play for them, make it very difficult for them to take back the Senate in November. The Republican here is a guy named Mike Rogers, who narrowly lost the Senate race 2 years ago by like a half a point. So Abdul El Sayed is a radical. He is campaigns with radicals. I mean, this is as far left as it gets in a state that's a pretty purple state. So, you know, Republicans are watching this not just for the socialist aspect of it, but does this put a race on the map? It may not have felt like that at the beginning of the cycle.
Yeah, so if you look at the polling right now for both of those candidates, it's pretty tight with Mike Rogers. I mean, obviously, there's a long way to go. People start focusing in on this a lot differently once you're past the primary. So I do think that's going to be interesting. Now, a state that I lived in for 9.5 years, and you know my wife is from Wisconsin, they vote next week. How about this Hong, the candidate for the Democrats in Wisconsin, who thinks maybe we shouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving because, you know, it's you know, very painful, Scott, for many people in our communities. I don't know if you know that Thanksgiving is painful. I don't know one person who thinks that Thanksgiving is painful. I think they like it better than Christmas.
Well, this candidate, by the way, that thing she said about Thanksgiving on CNN, if she were to have said that at the Democratic National Convention, she would have got a standing ovation. I mean, she's not... These lunatic Democrats, I mean, they're into weirdo beliefs like that. I mean, look, at the beginning of all their party events, everywhere in the country, they do land acknowledgments. Land acknowledgments are an extension of that line of thinking that Thanksgiving needs to be canceled. And this Hong has dipped into and expressed every sort of anti-American, anti-American founding, anti-constitutional thing you can dip into. And you know, that's what they're going with in Wisconsin. Again, in an environment where Democrats historically should have an advantage, you can see in races around the country, Michigan, Wisconsin, there's several House races out there, where if they just nominated someone approaching normal, they'd probably win. But they're going to end up nominating people who are insane lunatics, and they're probably going to lose, and they're going to squander, you know, some opportunities that are on the board.
Scott Jennings back with us this afternoon. Since you were on vacation last night, were you dialed in? I'm sorry, not last night, last week. Were you dialed in to the Fauci stuff? Because that was quite something last week. And, you know, there's two aspects. There's the fact that Fauci was exposed as more despicable than I think I even thought he was, and lies. And then there's the fact that the media won't really cover that aspect. And you are on a network where there's a couple of people that got involved in those diaries that, you know, I think is controversial as well. I don't know if Dr. Fauci is going to go to prison. I don't know if I want him to go to prison. But I do think there should be accountability. And to take the fifth 111 times and not answer questions that I think the American people are due is just repulsive, but that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, I was dialed in on that pretty closely, actually. My home state Senator Rand Paul was running that hearing. And, you know, first of all, people need to remember, he got a pardon. You know, Biden gave him a blanket pardon, so there was really no excuse for him to take the fifth, unless he was planning to perjure himself, which is another, you know, another question altogether. So, look, the American people need answers to the questions. A lot of mistakes were made, and a lot of damage was done to our national public health regime, and that's very bad. And he could have helped start to restore credibility by owning up to some of this, and he refused to do it. And when you look at through the files that they've gotten on him now, his obsession with his own fame and becoming a celebrity, more than, say, I don't know, getting your kid back to school, it's outrageous. And it goes to show you that at the time when a lot of us were having questions about why are we doing this, why are we doing that, I mean, even Europe had it figured out on the schools. Fauci was spending all day, every day as his own publicist, as opposed to, you know, trying to get those answers to those questions.
It's just one of those issues. I think government fraud is in this same category, where I don't know why this is not a partisan, you know, outrage, because or nonpartisan outrage, because it shouldn't be Democrats on one side, Republicans on another side. When it comes to Fauci, everyone should be concerned about what happened to the country. And I always kind of allow for the first couple of months, things were weird, we didn't know what was happening. But after that, mistakes were made continuously.
Well, the issue is, because he became viewed as a resistance figure to Trump, he therefore became infallible, and he must be defended at all costs. This happens to people. You know, even moderately or not talented at all people in Washington, all they had to do in order to become sainted was to just basically become a resistance figure to Trump. This was Fauci. Remember, they had pillows. They crocheted his face on pillows. They had prayer candles. They turned him into a deity, basically, and now the deity must be defended. That's what's happening here. The problem is that so many people's lives were destroyed, children's educations were destroyed, people's futures were destroyed, businesses were destroyed, and they're willing to do all of that and answer no question about it just to keep up the facade of St. Fauci. It's terrible. What's crazy is that if we have another medical pandemic, we have another problem in this country, nobody's going to trust a word. any of these you know, public health officials say, because we have no reason to trust him because of the way he's acting right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big problem, and that's why I think more people should pay attention. I always mention David Zweig's book, An Abundance of Caution, because I think that's a great, great recap of some of the nonsense that went on. Hey, I know I was listening to CNN last night. They're focusing a lot on this reflecting pool situation with the president and Jeanine Pirro. They've known each other for a long time. They're very close. He kind of threw under the bus a couple of days ago. What do you make of all that? Because it seems like there's another, this is a bit of an unforced error on the part of the president.
Well, look, I've been very defensive of him over the general idea of doing renovations in Washington. It's America 250. Things need to look nice.
Yeah.
I'm all for that, and I think that's a great impulse. On this pool, I mean, I guess they had to withdraw the charges because they simply just didn't have evidence. You can't go to court without evidence. And, you know, look, I had a reaction to this on CNN the other night. They drug this guy's name through the mud, and they can't, you know, I mean, he's – I've never heard of this guy other than this issue, and I have a strong reaction when people are unfairly have their name drugged through the mud like this. And so, you know, I think I said on TV, I think this is like they look like a bunch of monkeys having intimate relations with footballs. That's the way this looks to me. I have no doubt there's been vandalism at national parks and national monuments. I believe that. Whether it was this guy or not, apparently not. I don't like that this guy got drugged through the mud over this. I just want them to get the pool fixed. The pool is a cool thing. It needs to be fixed, and that's the most important thing. But they really, really ought not drag people's name through the mud if they don't have the goods.
By the way, in defense of, you know, I heard some guy last night when I was listening to CNN say, and this was important too, despite this controversy, D.C., and you can vouch for this because you're there, D.C. looks a lot better than it did, you know, 2 years ago. He's really cleaned a lot of stuff up. So the positives outweigh the negatives when it comes to how the nation's capital is looking right now.
You go to the front of Union Station, which is the train station. There is a like a fountain. I didn't even know it was a fountain. I've been going there for 26 years. I had no idea it was a fountain. This thing is gleaming white. This fountain's coming out. There's a pool of water. This thing was basically like a homeless monument. It was
I've been there.
Covered in graffiti.
Yes, I've
garbage.
Seen it. Yep.
It looks great. There's examples like this all over the city. They beautified the city, and oh, by the way, they've had a massive reduction in crime.
Right.
It's a little safer to walk around. They've done basic government services, make it look good and make it safe. And, of course, Democrats have lost their minds about this because Trump did it. They won't do it. Trump does it, and so now it's been turned into something negative. I think it's been a very great thing for
absolutely. All right, Jennings, my friends in Milwaukee, and I saw a couple of sports radio hosts and even some personal friends I made when I was up there, they think they may have gotten fleeced at the trade deadline by the St. Louis Cardinals. What do you think? It looks like we did okay here.
I think we did okay. I'll miss JoJo. You know, he's been a big part of the team for 5 years.
I know.
But, you know, for the Brewers, look, they need to try to win the World Series. And they've already got some dominant pitching. Now they're going to have more depth. I for them, it's like, okay, we're going to try to win it. Let's try to win it. I get why they did it. I tell you this, Bloom, he's done what he said he was going to do, restock the pool. And our reflecting pool looks pretty good right now.
it does. In the
Cardinal system.
I think you're right about that. There, you come full circle with all this. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see what happens. And by the way, on Milwaukee, this might have to be their year, despite the Dodgers and everything else. By the way, did you see the home run, the sea of home runs last night by Burleson and everyone else?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, and that short porch in New York versus what he has to face in Busch Stadium. We were texting about this the other day.
Yes.
How many home runs would this guy have if he played in a different park? But I'm glad we have him, and I was glad he got to hit a few dingers in a short porch.
All right, Scott. I was, too. All right, hey, appreciate the time. We'll see what happens tonight with all the results as they come in. We'll keep you posted from Missouri, but thanks a lot. We'll catch you on CNN tonight.
Happy Election Day. See you, Mark.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork.
Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Autotrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on Autotrader. Really.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at G-R-U-N-S.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, Sue, one thing I want to talk about a little bit before Sue's News after the top of the hour is I wrapped the documentary, and it's in three parts of the Idaho murders, the Koberger case.
And?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit more after four, but it was right. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And I feel, you know, the question that we had when we were talking with Paul Hall about it is, do you learn something from this?
Right.
And I think you do. And I'll kind of comment on that after the top of the hour. Also, our friend Tim Summers, and I want to kind of, you know, replug this here. Tim Summers has got a new book out called Dispatches from the Kingdom of Outsiders. We had him on the show a week and a half ago. Tim has been around the music industry, you know, an incredibly long time. And these are basically stories, some of which are just kind of crazy, because he told this story when he was on with us last time. Johnny Depp and Evan Dando nearly like killed themselves tripping on acid. And Tim was watching it happen as they were climbing high above this skyscraper in Los Angeles. So some of the stories he tells in that book are kind of crazy. One of the things that John Lamping and I are going to talk about tonight is the race in Michigan between El Sayed and Haley Stevens.
We've also got to make sure that in this state, we are not discriminating by documentation status. Right now, if you're undocumented, you don't get access to a driver's license, so you're stuck.
We need to abolish things like the filibuster and the Electoral College.
ICE cannot be reformed. ICE cannot be retrained. ICE has to be abolished.
You said the Israeli government is evil. Do you think they're just as evil as Hamas?
Yes, killing tens of thousands of people makes you pretty damn evil.
You said when they go low, we choke them out.
So that's El Sayed. His opponent is Haley Stevens, who is deemed the establishment candidate. Let's go up to Michigan this afternoon. Ryan Recker, he's an anchor at WWJ Radio in Detroit, used to be here at KMOX. He has filled in for me and other hosts here on a regular basis. Ryan Recker, what's up, dude? I never get to talk to you because you're always on when I'm not here.
Your voice, I loved listening to your last interview there, too.
Thank you.
I didn't have you potted up the right way, and I think I do now.
So that's okay.
Oh, we got you.
There we go. We can hear each other. So what, you know, I have not focused as much on this Michigan race, but this is pretty big tonight. We're going to take a lot of time analyzing it when John and I do this election coverage. What is your take from being inside the state? Is, you know, the polling that I've seen is El Sayed is up significantly in this race. It's always turnouts, obviously. We're keeping an eye on Cori Bush and Wesley Bell here. But what's your take, Ryan, on that race for the U.S. Senate?
Here's the thing that I really started to ponder is there's a certain amount of love affair people have for this democratic socialism. And El Sayed is someone that is very much like that, except he tries to keep it somewhat contained and on the down low. But the thing I really realize is that this love affair with the democratic socialism is much more mainstream than I ever imagined. And I don't think I'm breaking any confidence here, but, you know, I work inside of a newsroom. You get to hear people's opinions. Obviously, their opinions don't reflect what they report, but you get to hear their personal side and their personal take on stories they're covering. People love him. And they just admire him. They adore him. We had all the different candidates come into our radio station throughout the course of this election. You know, I've met Al Sayed. I've met Haley Stevens. And, you know, we sit them at a table and we let them talk and we ask them questions and we get to know them as a way of an informal way to try to, you know, meet the people that are running for office. And we might have had, let's say, five people that sat in on Haley Stevens, but the entire table of conference room was filled for Abdul El-Sayed. The people there wanted to hear what he had to say. He's very charismatic. He gets the right words out, but he's also very calculated in the things he says. Mm-hmm. And when certain politicians, when you ask them what you think you're having as a candid conversation with them, and then you're, okay, let's go and we'll interview, and you ask them a question and they say verbatim, word for word, what they just told you, you can tell they're very good at tricking people to make it feel like it's conversational. But really, they have trained themselves very hard to make sure they're saying the right things. And when you have someone like El-Sayed, who is very, very left-leaning, you know, wants to defund the police, has issues with Israel and, you know, abolish ICE and indigenous reparations and, you know,
all this stuff. Yeah.
Police brutality is a public health issue. You know, you played those clips are great ways to do it. He doesn't make that his core message because he knows those type of things are not popular. He makes his core message that, you know, I'm young and hip. And that is really resonating, which makes me believe sometimes when you have that happening, the polls could be wrong. So this, I think, is a lot tighter than what some of the polls say between him and Stevens.
He's kind of like a bit of a Mamdani, right? He's kind of picking up on that energy. But is it not an issue? This is one of the things, and I don't think I really paid attention to this here until the last week. So he's portrayed as a doctor, right? A physician epidemiologist, but he holds a medical degree, but he's never completed a medical residency or held any clinical license to practice medicine on patients. Do people care about that? Because that in and of itself kind of says fraud to me. Right?
Well, here's what this is how he handles that. And he's very good at this. Goes back to the idea that he is crafting his message the right way. Whenever someone brings that up, his answer is always the same. It's something to the lines of, well, the college I went to says the doctor school. So he doesn't say he's a doctor, but he says, well, if the title on the building says the doctor school of whatever, Columbia or whatever he went where the building was called, he wants to allude to a fact that he's a doctor, but he is absolutely not legally allowed to practice in the state of Michigan because he does not have the credentials for that. And I don't think he has the doctorate, but he is definitely not a doctor, but he tries to play that up.
Yeah, because the perception, I think, is that he, at least at one point, was a licensed physician, and that's not even true.
No. Yeah. I don't even think he did any clinical hours. He basically finished the classwork, but all the other things that you need to become a doctor, the clinical side of it and actually meeting with patients and learning that, so I don't think he did any of that.
Interesting.
So, yeah, you might have a doctorate, kind of like Dr. Jill Biden,
yes,
but you wouldn't actually go in and have her do a physical.
No, that's what I kind of compared it to earlier. Ryan Recker is here. He's up at WWJ Radio in Detroit. All right, let's for a moment say that Haley Stevens is able to pull this out. Tell me about Haley Stevens, and then is the race, because the polling, Ryan, that I've seen, and this obviously it's early, but if you put Mike Rogers, the Republican, against either of these candidates, it's very, very close. But if she wins, does she, in theory, have a better chance, you think, or is this thing all bets are off?
I think that it could be very, very close again with them. The thing with Haley Stevens is that, you know, the big ploy for her is you will never meet her without her mentioning that she worked for President Obama. Like she was, oh, when the auto industry was on the ropes, I was there with President Obama working to bring it back. So she says that even though I wouldn't really make it look like she was a big influence on that. But she definitely puts herself and hitches on the establishment, the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, and the senator that is retiring. He also has endorsed Haley Stevens. So there's a lot of people that are there and they're looked at as mainstream Democrats in the state of Michigan. They all say Haley Stevens is the person. They look at El-Sayed as the radical leftist. So if she were to make it, her ploy is, I'm not a millionaire. I'm just your average Michigander. I'm the person that you're going to meet at the grocery store. On the other side, the Republican, Mike Rogers, he's someone that moved into the state. He's ran for office a bunch of times. he's had some success, but not to this level. You know, he's tried to run for Senate, for example, didn't end up working. So he is the President Trump-backed candidate. President Trump carried the state back when the general election happened last. So if there's still a little bit of that magic left, Mike Rogers could win it, but it would be super close.
Yeah, but this is going to, I mean, if El Sayed's the guy, then, you know, the conversation becomes very different. And, you know, we're still wondering if Cori Bush might pull an upset here against Wesley Bell. I still think it's a long shot. But again, you know, I think all bets are off just given the fact that these DSA candidates are really picking up steam and there's anti-incumbency, I think, on both sides. Pollsters will tell you that that's pretty much the case. Well, it's fascinating. We'll see what happens. You guys taking a look at anything else up there right now? Do you have ballot issues or stuff like that on the...
Well, there's a couple of things that I guess are on the ballot. A lot of local issues on the ballot. Statewide, they do have a ballot proposal that I think is going to make it into the general election that has to do with campaign financing and disclosure, which is kind of interesting. But I wouldn't say there's any really exciting ones.
Yeah, the only ones. The Senate race is big enough, right?
The Senate race and the governor's race are the two big ones here. And it's just this love affair with democratic socialism that has been sweeping nationwide. I just cannot figure out why it's become so mainstream, honestly. That is what I'm trying to figure out.
You know, I heard Dave Ramsey on Fox earlier today, and he had an interesting theory about this. And I'm a person, I kind of look in a geeky way at the economy and things, you know, that are maybe signals or whatever. But if you look at the amount of debt that people have right now in this country, you know, credit card debt is at an all-time high. It wasn't, you know, during the pandemic. Student loan debt is at an all-time high. You can't, in most parts of the country, I think St. Louis, Ryan, is an exception. You can't really find a house that is at a, you know, decent price for a starter house. So a lot of these young people, Dave was saying, you know, they're pushed out or they feel like they're pushed out of the economy. So that's why this is appealing to them. I think there's something to that, unfortunately. But it's not just younger voters. That's the other thing. There's a lot of older voters, older white women in particular, who are attracted to this. So I don't know that I can explain older white guilty people. That's not my area. That's not my lane, Ryan.
Well, I would equate this to a lot of people have problems. There are a lot of issues. There's issues with the healthcare system. There's issues when it comes to housing. These are all problems that I think both parties recognize. But if you have a lot of problems and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I want to go into the DMV and I'm going to ask them to fix my problems for me. That's essentially you going to a politician saying, hey, El Sayed, I know you as the government can fix my problems. That's as foolish. And I don't know anyone that would ever go in there and say, hey, government, run my life for me. And it would be something that you would want.
Yeah,
but for some reason, there's a lot of people that want to do that right now.
Ryan Recker, great to hook up with you. Hope all is well. Thank you so much. We'll probably hear you on 97.1 FM Talk soon enough.
I'll be in all for Annie Fry tomorrow.
Look at that. I didn't even anticipate that. We'll hear you tomorrow. Thank you, Ryan. Well, it was great to get Ryan Recker on because, you know, what he described really was very similar to what kind of propelled Mom Donnie.
You know,
there's charm there. There's likability. You know, sometimes you don't see this when you're far off because we're playing the crazy person sound bites, which probably aren't getting played as much up there in Michigan. But this is a real test. And I would say if you combine this in Michigan with a lesser chance of Cori Bush pulling an upset again against Wesley Bell. But this would absolutely rather give the Democrat Socialists of America and the people who support them, which seemingly is a growing number, an advantage into, you know, what they really want to do with this country, which is kind of frightening. Get rid of the filibuster, get rid of borders, get rid of the Supreme Court. I mean, some of these things are really, really out there. Now, when they dial down, Ryan kind of indicated this, when you're kind of pushing them on this, well, we may not believe all that. This stuff is evolving. They're going to run way to the left in the primary. And then if he wins this, and I'm telling you, so I don't know if you've seen the polling. The polling's not even close on this. Like, a close race would be +3, +4, something like that. He's +9, +10, +11 against Haley Stevens.
I don't
so
get it.
if you that would be a major upset. That would be an indicator that the polling is way, way off in that race. I do not have polling that is current from Wesley Bell and Cori Bush. The last one I saw was Wesley was up by like 8 points. But again, turnout matters.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX,
Work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.